Chapter 35. As she sat looking straight before her, across the changing lights upon the grass into the darkness of the wood beyond, he saw in her face her application of his very distinctly uttered words. "All allowance," apostrophe he continued, "must be made. I have one great fault to find with Tom, however, which I cannot forgive, and for which I take him heavily to account." Apostrophe, Luia turned her eyes to his face, and asked him what fault was that? "Perhaps," apostrophe he returned, "I have said enough. Perhaps it would have been better, on the whole, if no allusion to it had escaped me. Apostrophe, you alarm me, Mr. Harthouse. Pray let me know it. Apostrophe, to relieve you from needless apprehension, and as this confidence regarding your brother, which I prize I am sure above all possible things, has been established between us, I obey. I cannot forgive him for not being more sensible in every word, look, and act of his life, of the affection of his best friend, of the devotion of his best friend, of her unselfishness, of her sacrifice. The return he makes her, within my observation, is a very poor one. What she has done for him demands his constant love and gratitude, not his ill humor and caprice. Careless fellow as I am not so indifferent, Mrs. Bounderby, as to be regardless of this vice in your brother, or inclined to consider it a venial offense." Apostrophe, the wood floated before her, for her eyes were suffused with tears. They rose from a deep well, long concealed, and her heart was filled with acute pain that found no relief in them. "In a word, it is to correct your brother in this, Mrs. Bounderby, that I must aspire. My better knowledge of his circumstances, and my direction and advice in extricating them rather valuable, I hope, as coming from a Scapegrace on a much larger scale will give me some influence over him, and all I gain I shall certainly use towards this end. I have said enough, and more than enough. I seem to be protesting that I am a sort of good fellow, when, upon my honor, I have not the least intention to make any protestation to that effect, and openly announce that I am nothing of the sort. Yonder, among the trees," apostrophe he added, having lifted up his eyes and looked about, for he had watched her closely until now, "is your brother himself, no doubt, just come down. As he seems to be loitering in this direction, it may be as well, perhaps, to walk towards him, and throw ourselves in his way. He has been very silent and doleful of late. Perhaps, his brotherly conscience is touched, if there are such things as consciences. Though, upon my honor, I hear of them much too often to believe in them." Apostrophe, he assisted her to rise, and she took his arm, and they advanced to meet the whelp. He was idly beating the branches as he lounged along, or he stooped viciously to rip the moss from the trees with his stick. He was startled when they came upon him while he was engaged in this latter pastime, and his color changed. "Halloa! Apostrophe, apostrophe," he stammered. "I didn't know you were here." "Apostrophe, whose name, Tom, apostrophe," said Mr. Harthouse, putting his hand upon his shoulder and turning him, so that they all three walked towards the house together. "Have you been carving on the trees?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe, whose name?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," returned Tom. "Oh, you mean what girl's name?" "Apostrophe, you have a suspicious appearance of inscribing some fair creatures on the bark, Tom." "Apostrophe, not much of that, Mr. Harthouse, unless some fair creature with a slashing fortune at her own disposal would take a fancy to me. Or she might be as ugly as she was rich, without any fear of losing me. I'd carve her name as often as she liked." "Apostrophe, I am afraid you are mercenary, Tom." "Apostrophe, mercenary, apostrophe," repeated Tom. "Who is not mercenary? Ask my sister." "Apostrophe, have you so proved it to be a failing of mine, Tom?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," said Luia, showing no other sense of his discontent and ill nature. "You know whether the cap fits you, Lou," apostrophe returned her brother sulkily. "If it does, you can wear it." apostrophe, Tom is misanthropical today, as all bored people are now and then, apostrophe said Mr. Harthouse. Don't believe him, Mrs. Bounderby. He knows much better. I shall disclose some of his opinions of you, privately expressed to me, unless he relents a little. Apostrophe, at all events, Mr. Harthouse, apostrophe said Tom, softening in his admiration of his patron, but shaking his head sullenly too, you can't tell her that I ever praised her for being mercenary. I may have praised her for being the contrary, and I should do it again, if I had as good reason. However, never mind this now, it's not very interesting to you, and I am sick of the subject. Apostrophe, they walked on to the house, where Louis acquitted her visitor's arm and went in. He stood looking after her, as she ascended the steps, and passed into the shadow of the door, then put his hand upon her brother's shoulder again, and invited him with a confidential nod to a walk in the garden. Tom, my fine fellow, I want to have a word with you. Apostrophe, they had stopped among a disorder of roses. It was part of Mr. Bounderby's humility to keep Nicot's roses on a reduced scale, and Tom sat down on a terrace parapet, plucking buds and picking them to pieces, while his powerful familiar stood over him, with a foot upon the parapet, and his figure easily resting on the arm supported by that knee. They were just visible from her window. Perhaps she saw them. Tom, what's the matter? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh. Mr. Harthouse, apostrophe said Tom with a groan, I am hard up, and bothered out of my life. Apostrophe, my good fellow, so am one. Apostrophe, you. Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Tom. You are the picture of independence. Mr. Harthouse, I am in a horrible mess. You have no idea what a state I have got myself into, what a state my sister might have got me out of, if she would only have done it. Apostrophe, he took to biting the rosebuds now, and tearing them away from his teeth with a hand that trembled like an infirm old man's. After one exceedingly observant look at him, his companion relapsed into his lightest stare. Tom, you are inconsiderate. You expect too much of your sister. You have had money of her, you dog, you know you have. Apostrophe, well, Mr. Harthouse, I know I have. How else was I to get it? Here's old Bounderby always boasting that at my age he lived upon 2 pence a month, or something of that sort. Here's my father drawing what he calls a line, and tying me down to it from a baby, neck and heels. Here's my mother who never has anything of her own, except her complaints. What is a fellow to do for money, and where am I to look for it, if not to my sister? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he was almost crying, and scattered the buds about by dozens. Mr. Harthouse took him persuasively by the coat. But, my dear Tom, if your sister has not got it, apostrophe, not got it, Mr. Harthouse? I don't say she has got it. I may have wanted more than she was likely to have got. But then she ought to get it. She could get it. It's of no use pretending to make a secret of matters now, after what I have told you already. You know she didn't marry old Bounderby for her own sake, or for his sake, but for my sake. Then why doesn't she get what I want out of him, for my sake? She is not obliged to say what she is going to do with it. She is sharp enough. She could manage to coax it out of him, if she chose. Then why doesn't she choose, when I tell her of what consequence it is? But no. There she sits in his company like a stone, instead of making herself agreeable, and getting it easily. I don't know what you may call this, but I call it unnatural conduct. Apostrophe, there was a piece of ornamental water immediately below the parapet, on the other side, into which Mr. James Harthouse had a very strong inclination to pitch Mr. Thomas Gradgrind Jr., as the injured men of Coketown threatened to pitch their property into the Atlantic. But he preserved his easy attitude, and nothing more solid went over the stone balustrades than the accumulated rosebuds now floating about, a little surface island. My dear Tom, apostrophe said Harthouse, let me try to be your banker. Apostrophe, for God's sake, apostrophe, replied Tom, suddenly, don't talk about bankers. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and very white he looked, in contrast with the roses. Very white. Mr. Harthouse, as a thoroughly well-bred man, accustomed to the best society, was not to be surprised he could as soon have been affected, but he raised his eyelids a little more, as if they were lifted by a feeble touch of wonder. Albeit it was as much against the precepts of his school to wonder, as it was against the doctrines of the Gradran College. What is the present need, Tom? Three figures? Out with them. Say what they are. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Harthouse, apostrophe, returned Tom, now actually crying, and his tears were better than his injuries, however pitiful a figure he made. It's too late. The money is of no use to me at present. I should have had it before to be of use to me. But I am very much obliged to you. You're a true friend. Apostrophe, a true friend. Welp, welp. Apostrophe, thought Mr. Harthouse, lazily, what an ass you are. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and I take your offer as a great kindness, apostrophe, said Tom, grasping his hand. As a great kindness, Mr. Harthouse. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe, returned the other, it may be of more use by and by. And, my good fellow, if you will open your bedevilments to me, when they come thick upon you, I may show you better ways out of them than you can find for yourself. Apostrophe, thank you, apostrophe, said Tom, shaking his head dismally, and chewing rosebuds. I wish I had known you sooner, Mr. Harthouse. Apostrophe, now, you see, Tom, apostrophe, said Mr. Harthouse in conclusion, himself tossing over a rose or two, as a contribution to the island, which was always drifting to the wall, as if it wanted to become a part of the mainland. Every man is selfish in everything he does, and I am exactly like the rest of my fellow creatures. I am desperately intent, apostrophe, the languor of his desperation being quite tropical, on your softening towards your sister, which you ought to do, and on your being a more loving and agreeable sort of brother, which you ought to be. Apostrophe, I will be, Mr. Harthouse. Apostrophe, no time like the present, Tom. Begin at once. Apostrophe, certainly I will. And my sister Lou shall say so. Apostrophe, having made which bargain, Tom, apostrophe, said Harthouse, clapping him on the shoulder again, with an air which left him at liberty, to infer as he did, poor fool, that this condition was imposed upon him in mere careless good nature to lessen his sense of obligation, we will tear ourselves asunder until dinner time. Apostrophe, when Tom appeared before dinner, though his mind seemed heavy enough, his body was on the alert, and he appeared before Mr. Bounderby came in. I didn't mean to be cross, Lou, apostrophe, he said, giving her his hand, and kissing her. I know you are fond of me, and you know I am fond of you. Apostrophe, after this, there was a smile upon Louis's face that day, for someone else. Alas, for someone else. So much the less is the whelp the only creature that she cares for, apostrophe, thought James Harthouse, reversing the reflection of his first day's knowledge of her pretty face. So much the less, so much the less. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.